President Emeritus Haley, please join me. President Simon, I have the honor to present the Honorable Clifton Edward Haley for awarding of the honorary degree, Doctor of Laws.
You are a tireless champion of the Michigan State University College of Law. For more than 15 years, you've exerted your professional influence, applied your business acumen, and demonstrated your Spartan pride to assure that the Detroit College of Law would continue to thrive in this new environment. As a trustee of the Law College, you guided the development of its Big Ten reputation and growth in its endowment. As a chair of the Board Integration Committee, you advanced the recommendation that resulted in the transformation of the school into a constituent college at Michigan State University. Your law school experience prepared you to serve Ford Motor Company in significant domestic and international management assignments for nearly two decades. Then you led Budget Rent-A-Car Corporation as chairman and CEO until you became president and owner of Drummond Island Resorts and Conference Center. A decade ago and 50 years after your first bachelor's degree, you demonstrated an inspiring capacity for lifelong learning, earning a second degree, this time from Michigan State University. For your loyalty in serving both your alma maters and for the professional success in your lifetime that created great credit to both schools, I am pleased to award you the honorary degree Doctor of Laws from Michigan State University.
Is this on?
Now it's on.
They say my voice carries, but boy, does it carry now. Thank you very much, President Simon. I'm deeply honored to receive this wonderful, special recognition from Michigan State University. I feel a special bond with each of the graduates here today as a fellow Spartan and because we share a passion for learning. The law degree I received more than 50 years ago created a lifelong stream of opportunities. Opportunities to pursue fulfilling legal and business careers, and an opportunity I never dreamed of, a career in academia. I was privileged to serve as president and to lead the initiative that transformed Detroit College of Law into Michigan State University, a dream come true. Your hard-earned, well-deserved degree will provide incredible opportunities for you to better the world in years to come. Congratulations on your distinguished achievement. I wish you much success. God bless you and thank you.
Mr. Augustine, will you please join me? President Simon, I have the honor to present Mr. Norman Ralph Augustine for awarding of the honorary degree, Doctor of Science.
You are a defense industry legend who spent a career advancing the role of technology, science, and engineering in assuring America's future. From the time of a bachelor's degree in aeronautical engineering and a master's of science in engineering from Princeton University, you have served both industry and the United States government, providing leadership in complex and critical areas of national defense. As Undersecretary of the Army and later as the first president of the Lockheed Martin Corporation, you combined a commitment to public service with the practicality of the business world. You've been recognized with the National Medal of Technology, the Joint Chiefs of Staff Distinguished Public Service Award, the Distinguished Civilian Award Medal five times, the latter award, the Department of Defense's highest civilian decoration. You've shown a commitment to public service in inspiring ways, serving as chair and principal officer of the American Red Cross for 9 years and president of the Boy Scouts of America. You are a trustee emeritus of Johns Hopkins, served on the boards of Princeton and MIT, and you've served as a regent of the University System of Maryland. Your public service included membership in the Hart Rudman Commission on National Security, and you served as the President's Council of Advisors of Science and Technology under both Republican and Democratic presidencies. For my purpose, you were extraordinarily as part of the author of Rising Above the Gathering Storm in terms of reigniting the interest in science and technology at campuses. For your dedication to using your scientific knowledge and experience to fulfill your civic duty at the highest levels, I am pleased to award you the honorary degree Doctor of Science from Michigan State University.
Well, thank you very much for this very great honor and for making me feel such a welcome member of this great family. The description of my background was extremely generous, and in fact, I must say to the president that it reminded me of my very first day on the faculty at Princeton after I had spent my entire career up until that time either in industry or government. And I was asked to give the welcoming address to the incoming freshman engineers. And on the occasion, I wasn't paying much attention to what the dean was saying in his opening remarks. I was flipping through my notes. And then suddenly I heard him say, "Now we will hear from Professor Augustine." And this is absolutely true. For just an instant, the thought went through my mind, gee, what a coincidence, they have some guy here by the same name as me. But I should also note that on the occasion when I was granted an honorary degree by my alma mater, and needless to say, I was very proud on that occasion, just as I am today, the next day the New York Times carried a story about the event. And the headline in the New York Times read, "Muhammad Ali and three others received Princeton degrees." I think I was first of the other three. Whatever the case, I am greatly honored to become a member of the Michigan State family, and it's a family known not only for its great academic accomplishment, also for its excellence in research and its athletic prowess. The first university to be created under the Morrill Act that truly changed the future landscape of higher education in America and of our nation as a whole. And it remains today a prototype for attracting students from well over 100 countries. So I thank you for this very great honor, and I do note that given the order of events today, I can't wait to get home and tell my grandchildren that we graduated first in our class. As new graduates, you will be entering an entirely different world from the world that existed when I graduated many years ago. And perhaps the greatest change of all has been globalization. I believe that two advancements in science and technology largely underpin this remarkable development. And I refer to jet aircraft that have made it possible to move things, including people, around the world at nearly the speed of sound, that have made it possible to move ideas, data, and information around the world literally at the speed of light. The result, in the words of Francis Cairncross, writing in The Economist, is that distance is dead. And indeed, today, instance is dead. The writer Tom Friedman said globalization has accidentally made Beijing, Bangalore, and Bethesda next door neighbors. Unfortunately, the education that you have received has provided you the preparation you will need not simply to survive in this new world, but to be leaders in shaping it. And the latter, of course, is a very great responsibility. The best advice that I've seen in this regard comes from an inscription on the tombstone at Normandy and the British officers' cemetery there. And it says that leadership is wisdom, courage, and carelessness of self. But the only improvement I could see as on that would be that leadership is wisdom, courage, carelessness of self, and character. Yet as you're to shape this world, you're going to require more than the world-class education that you've received. There's, of course, very little I can add to what you've learned in your professional fields. But there are some things I've learned outside the classroom along the way that seem to me to be true irrespective of the passage of time, and I would like to share a few of these with you. And if you're wondering why you should be listening to my advice, I would simply remind you that I really am a rocket scientist. First of all, I would simply note that as important as is your degree and as important as is your health, there's something that's far more important than either and far more fragile. That is your reputation, both personal and professional. And I say this not because graduation speakers are supposed to say that, but I say it because I've had highly accomplished friends who've managed to wreck their lives and the lives of the people around them because of a single slip-up in the reputational sphere. These were fundamentally decent people who made an error in ethical judgment. And when it comes to ethics, what has been done can't be undone. There are no recalls, no do-overs, no mulligans. In addition, I would proffer the perhaps contrarian view that it's not useful to spend too much of your time planning the rest of your life. And be assured that I subscribe to the philosophy of that great philosopher, Yogi Berra, who warned that if you don't know where you're going, you could wind up somewhere else. The problem is that there are simply too many uncontrollable variables in life to permit detailed long-range planning. And it's, of course, important to have a general sense of where you would like to arrive. For example, if you want to become a neurosurgeon, it's probably better to go to medical school than to business school. But it's also important to take advantage of opportunities in life that present themselves. A good friend of mine likes to say that when opportunity knocks, try to answer the door. I've also found that when pursuing a career, it's important to focus on present responsibilities and not worry about getting ahead. And the great irony is that the best way to get ahead seems to be not to try to get ahead. And no one has ever said this better than Sir William Osler, who's considered to be the father of modern Western medicine by many. And he counseled, and I quote, "I've had personal ideals, one today to do the day's work well and not bother about tomorrow. And it is to it more than anything else I owe whatever success I have had, to this power of settling down to the day's work and trying to do it well to the best of one's ability and let the future take care of itself." I would also encourage you to engage in selfless pursuits outside of your regular job responsibilities. If you do, you'll find much greater satisfaction in life. Some years ago, a business colleague of mine, a vice president of our firm, stopped by my office on the last day of his working career before he was to retire. And when he said he wasn't sure what he was going to do with all the extra time he would have, I suggested that he become a Red Cross volunteer. Well, about 3 years passed before I heard from him again. Then one day, a tattered, water-stained envelope arrived in my mail. It was from my friend. This letter, written in pencil on a piece of lined notepaper, began as follows. "I have just spent my entire day standing in water up to my knees, handing out rolls of toilet paper. And he said, for some reason, I thought of you." But the letter concluded with the following sentence. "It was the finest day of my life. And such days could be among the finest in your life, too." And then we come to that piece of advice for which you've all been awaiting, the last one. For this, I would simply observe that life is not a spectator sport, nor is it a dress rehearsal. And the greatest regrets in life are not opportunities that one pursues and fails, but rather the ones that one fails to pursue. Everyone is periodically confronted with decisions whether to remain in their comfort zone, preserving the status quo, or in the words of Robert Frost, to take the road less traveled. This entails certain risks, not injudicious, frivolous risks, but carefully considered risks. Inclusion, I would note, and I wish it weren't so, that everyone's life has its setbacks. But if you will note these few suggestions that I've offered, I'm confident that you can help make this a better world and extract a great deal of pleasure while doing it. And with that, let me congratulate you on what you've accomplished and to wish you well in what I know you will accomplish, and to thank you again for the very great honor that you bestowed upon me. Now bring on the degrees.
Thank you very much. Thank you.